Welcome to the first episode of the Braai Box podcast. This is a brand new podcast that me, Peter, and my friend Rion is going to start with the main purpose of providing free financial content to educate and empower our fellow South Africans. First, I want to introduce Rion. He's my friend. He's from the corporate finance world. And yeah, Rion, just introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. It's that Afrikaans accent comes through when I say your name, Peter.
Is it Rion or Rion?
Rion.
Rion.
Yeah. Or Ruan or whatever everyone else calls me. But it's a pleasure sitting here. It really is. It feels like the last 2 years that I've been dreaming around creating financial content. So sitting here with you today is really a dream that's starting. Not a dream come true. I feel we need to at least up a few people before we can say that. But sitting here with you today is a privilege. I know you've already got some fame on Money Marks, but it's good to be here and to share the purpose of educating fellow South Africans.
Yeah, awesome. It's very nice to have you here, and I'm glad that we are able to take on this project together. It's creating content is a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work. So it's nice to have someone that has a same alignment as to what we're trying to achieve with this, what we are doing. So why did we decide on Braai Box, the name Braai Box?
I guess firstly because we wanted to keep it informal as far as possible. It should be, two friends talking about money and then naturally getting the principles across of what we want to teach each other first of all, but then actually the wider audience. And the purpose of Braai Box, so why we're bringing in Braai's, we thought it would be a very good addition to our show to just have like a little review every week. So I don't know if you want to do the honors of what we're doing the review on this week. And then, I guess that's the idea, to keep it fun, to keep it engaging.
Yeah, we always think about finances as being this kind of taboo topic that, we don't talk about money, it's scary. And it should not be. It should be something that we are comfortable talking about around the braai because we've, they're amongst friends and we're sharing knowledge and we're helping to build each other up, not bragging, but building up and, because we discussed how we're going to approach this and what is the type of a theme or vibe that we're going to have. Are we going to sit in suits? Make it nice and formal or in nice and t-shirts. So we're going to do a bit of both. So dress formally because it's finances. We need to look fancy, but also making it fun. So we're going to kick off this episode by reviewing our very own South African classic Zamalek, aka Black Label, because we believe that this is one of the beverages that makes us all come together. It's so classic South African. A Zamalek, you see that all over the place.
You almost see it with the South African flag. Eh?
Yeah,
if you say
yeah.
Zamalek,
you see it with the Springboks and the flag and the biltong and the Zamaleki and the
pop. The braai on a Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah. How do we bring that together? So we're going to review that Zamaleki today. Throughout the episode, we'll add some comments on what we think about it. But what we're trying to do is just see how we can make the conversation around money fun and engaging. And inclusive for everyone. So how we're going to approach this is we're going to review this today. But then if you have any suggestions on what we can review next, leave it in the comments. The comment with the most likes, we will try and review if we have access to it. So that's probably going to get interesting. But we'll try and stay true to our word.
Cheers, everyone.
Awesome.
I guess to also just add on to that is really to make it informal as far as possible, but also to talk finance that can be a very complex and complicated subject and really discuss it as informally and as simple as possible. I feel like the world of finance, like I mentioned, can be complex and there's so many abbreviations and jargon and everything that scares people away, but it really shouldn't be like that. We can make it simple and we can be successful by keeping it simple.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I think, unfortunately, we haven't been exposed to financial content growing up, whether it was in our household or at school or at university. We really haven't been exposed to proper personal financial content. Yes, maybe we had accounting at school or mathematics, which is, a form of finance, but it's not personal finance. It's how do we work with money? So on that topic, personal finance, in a nutshell, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, everything that touches my pocket.
Okay.
Really, it's as soon as money comes into my pocket, what are the decisions you need to make? So that's personal finance. It really touches you as a person. And I guess there's a lot of topics that we can cover, from budgeting up until, you know, investing in cryptos. Mm. But actually, what do you do with your personal finances?
Yeah, and key is personal finances, because we all have our own journey that we're running. You are maybe me and Rion, we were raised in different worlds. Yes, we're together today, but the people watching this episode, we are all have our own story of where we started and how we got to where we are today and to where we are going in the future. So it's very much personal, which is a very key, running your own race. And what we're trying to achieve with this is trying to provide what we believe the school system has lacked to do, proper financial education that is truthful, that is reliable, and that is there with no strings attached. Because why we want to do this is because the industry, yes, now it's great. We have more access towards information on the internet. We all have now, it's more accessible, but it's always difficult to tell which information is reliable and which is not. So we're going to share kind of the journey and the vision of the podcast, but the audience is probably wondering, who is Peter and who is Rion? So if you can maybe, Rion, kick us off, give us a bit of a backstory of who is this guy?
Just before I kick off, I'm happy to, but I guess the purpose, what we're trying to do is really educate all South Africans.
Yeah.
And that's the main part is, you know, it doesn't matter where you are today. You can maybe not have a job today, not have an income, or you can be, you know, someone that has a lot of income but don't really know what to do with their finances. So we are going to try and almost cover the broad spectrum. So it is for all South Africans looking at finances. And I guess that then just brings me into my story and how I started. So as I was growing up, I always had a keen interest on money and how to make money and how to almost structure your money in that sense. And when I'm talking about growing up, I'm not talking about kindergarten or primary school. It's more like high school. And I guess that also drove me into sort of the degree that I went to study. So as I started with a very broad BCom degree that's in finance and also in business. So the degree was called BCom Entrepreneurial, and really covered a broad spectrum of business. So I knew I always had a keen interest in sort of mathematics and finances, but I also knew I had a keen interest in business. So that was the, you know, the broadest sort of degree that I could find. And I guess, yeah, as any other 18-year-old, you don't really know what you know, you want to do in life. So I guess that was some good advice from my dad in saying, you know, just choose a degree, go get some life experience and get the one that's the broadest in covering the most topics. And through that, that's actually where I then got into more of a financial direction. So in my second year, I think I had a subject called business finance. And that's where that almost keen interest and passion just almost grew up. And I made the decision to not finish that degree in that point in time and change to finance. And that's where I really got my first almost introduction to the personal finance educational space as one of the subjects. I think it was called like Personal Finance 101 or Introduction to Personal Finance. But it was an introduction, I must tell you. It was like a handbook of 700 pages. And I thought, geez, like, can it really be that complicated? But I must say, as I went through that year, it almost just awoken it again. Like, it really is a passion of mine. But then I ultimately decided not to go into personal finance. And the reason for that is just my understanding of the industry of that time. Mm. So as part of that class, there was a sales rep from one of these financial companies that came to, you know, onboard new graduates for their graduate program. And his talk was almost rounded around, you know, these are the financial products that you can sell. And he almost ventured into one of his close friends or family members or something of that sort, you know, came into this industry and in 5 years he was a millionaire. And I just sat there by myself and thinking, you know, okay, so your recruitment speech is now, you know, you can become a millionaire by pushing financial products in other people's throats and, you know, making that call to your Jimmy that was, you know, in high school with you 5 years ago and say, hey, have you started work yet and do you have life insurance? And I just looked at it and I said, like, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be that salesperson trying to sell a life insurance policy to everyone that I've ever met and try and get rich off that. And I guess that was a decision then for me to go into corporate finance, but ultimately it has been a good decision because I think I've got the experience now from a corporate side, which brings a different dynamic, I think, to our discussions as well. But also it shows you that sometimes you need to see the ugly and the you know, the brokenness and then ultimately get through your journey and say, okay, well, how can I make this better? How can I actually improve this for everyone else coming through the ranks?
Yeah, it's kind of trying to be the change that you want to see in the world. Was that Gandhi or someone? So, yeah, I think for me it was interesting story how I got here today is I had to decide between actuarial science and veterinary science in matric. 50-50 for me, I decided on vet, studied that, graduated, started working as a vet. Great profession, very secure, high in demand, loved what I did. But what I experienced was maybe like a month in, I went to MTN to get a data contract of $200, which I could afford. But then they told me I don't qualify because I don't have a credit score. And I was like, what is this thing? So I started researching what is a credit score because I didn't know. And I mean, now that was at the point of, 24, I think. So kind of already an adult, you know, and I don't know these things. So I had to really start educating myself. And I realized at that point in time that there's a lot of stuff that I need to learn if I want to succeed financially. Because I think most people go through the journey of, you know, at school, you work hard to get good grades, to get a good degree, to get a good job, to earn a good salary. And then they think it ends there. But that's only one side of the equation. The other side is managing money well. And that's not taught. So I had to really go the long yards to educate myself and to read blogs and watch videos and listen to podcasts and to really just immerse myself into this new world of finances. And through my journey through that, I started creating videos to help others because I experienced if I don't know, there's maybe one other guy in the world that probably also don't know. And that's how I kind of got the love for teaching, which I don't think I have. But in any case, after a couple of years of being a vet, I made the plunge into the finance industry. So I'm practicing as a financial planner currently. But being in a position where I saw what the industry was as a consumer, as a client, and what I liked and what I didn't like. And now, again, as you mentioned, trying to be part of the change and trying to do things differently in a way that is in the client's best interest. But what I feel like what's lacking severely in the finance industry is education, is spending time with clients to help them understand what they need and not just trying to make a sale, because that's unfortunately how the whole system is built on, is selling.
So you didn't call that Chomi that was in high school with you?
I refuse. No. I don't think that's the best way to go about. I guess there's different approaches to financial planning. Where I would rather spend time on producing content and educating, and then if clients resonate with that, you know, they can approach me and we can see if it's a fit. But the main focus point is both of us kind of having different journeys on where we started and how we got here today. Is I think the main thread that runs through this thing is really understanding and making informed decisions, and how do we make informed decisions as opposed to just trusting blindly what other people tells us is the informed decision, and having that education part that you can make that informed decision.
And you mentioned that you did other content creation as well as Money Marks. How do you feel this podcast will almost give a different view in the world?
Yeah, so it's funny because the first video on the Money Marks is, what is a credit score? That was my first video because I didn't know. And then I created that, and I was like, okay, what's the next thing? So I started thinking about, okay, well, looked at my own personal finances, like how do I budget? Okay, let's make a video on how to budget. So let's research that. And then it was tax-free savings accounts, retirement annuities. So how I see Money Marks kind of is more the informative. I want to learn something. Give me a video that will teach me, condense everything that I know in a video for someone that they don't have to go spend 10 hours to research on their own. I can condense it into a 10-minute video, and that will help them to get started. So I see that kind of as the informative. I want to learn something, teach me, and then let's go. Whereas this conversation we're having today is more so conversational and making it more practical and more like a relaxed conversational thing, because money is, again, it's very much behavioral as opposed to theoretical, which both is important, but making it more kind of relaxed in a setting, like how can two friends talk about money in a way that others will understand and make it resonate with them and their current
life. Agreed, yeah. Because the financial education part of it is so crucial to get that base. Yeah. But making it practical is really what brings it home and really the change that people will see in their pockets, like I mentioned. That's the thing. And I think we will get to it a little bit later on, but the theory and practice doesn't always come together. So you might be the smartest guy in all of the rooms that you are in, but if your behavior isn't showing that, then your money will ultimately not be where it needs to be.
Yeah. If you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. So I always say, you know, if information was everything we needed, we would all be millionaires with six packs. I don't have a six pack. I'm not yet a millionaire. I'm working on it, but that is the thing. We have access to information. You know, it's the digital age. There's the internet. There's things like podcasts, YouTube, all of that. You need a smartphone and you can get there. But that's one component that's important. And that's where we will actually focus on, is providing the education and what people need to know, where they start, whether they start with knowing zero or less than zero, to getting them to a point where they can take control of their finances and feel in control. But there's also the behavioral aspect of, okay, but how do we implement this and what do we do? Because there's no point in learning everything if you don't apply it. It's learning a new language, but you don't speak it. You're going to forget it. Going to the gym and wanting to get a six-pack, you can get a personal trainer. He can give you the diet as well as the workout plan. Tell you exactly how you will get the six-pack. But if you don't go and you exercise and you eat the right food, you're not going to have it. So it's having the information which we will provide. But then also there's a responsibility to, from the viewer side, to actually implement and apply what they've learned.
Yeah, and I guess that also brings us to almost the next point in terms of, do you think DIY financial planning or financial journey is possible? Now that you are also in the industry and you're meeting clients and you're knowing what people struggle with and go through.
Yeah, I think definitely if you start out in your career and you know, maybe it's your first job or you are a bit further ahead, you've got a salary, you've got expenses, maybe you've got a house or a car. When life is still fairly simple, it's very important to learn how to manage money well, and you can help yourself to a large extent to just know, okay, because I mean, finances in itself is not a complex thing. You don't need a finance degree to manage money well. That is a myth that some people who has finance degrees don't manage their money at all. So that is a myth. Put it out there. So yes, I think across the board, everyone needs to actually learn how to manage their money well. And being the definition of DIY investor is more so learning what you need to know to get you on the right track, avoiding the big mistakes that many people make, which we will share, and just making sure that you start building a strong base up to the point where life gets complicated. There's many different moving parts. You get busy, you're focusing on your career, on your family. Then the finances kind of get shoved to the side. Then it makes sense to partner with a financial planner. But in my personal opinion, I don't think everyone in this country needs a financial planner. Firstly, there's different definitions of financial planners, the good, the bad, the ugly. Mm-hmm. And good financial planners are expensive. So you don't always have access to good financial plans. It's like a lawyer or an accountant. They can get expensive. So how do we help that massive large portion of the population that don't yet necessarily have access to a financial planner, and how do we get them to a point where they have a great foundational phase in place, a base in place that will put them on the right track up to the point where they have, are so financially successful that they actually start needing someone's help and really trying to go from 0 to 80% in the best way possible through content.
Yeah. I guess the complexity starts to increase the more money you have.
Yeah.
Right.
More money, more problems.
Exactly. But it's also the thing, even if you have that passion like yourself and I have in getting the education and doing it yourself to a large extent, I guess there comes a point where you'll somewhere need someone just to at least be a bouncing board from, you know. Some advice, I guess, is never, you know, a bad thing. Mm. I guess where we also agree is that you don't need to pay, you know, thousands and thousands of rands to get a specific question answered, as an example. But I guess also that you almost alluded to it, but it's also the time that it takes, right? Mm. So, I mean, you, as a person, as an individual, maybe you don't want to spend 10 hours a week, you know, educating yourself and doing all of your finances on your own. So in that case, it does make sense to get a financial advisor. But the basic financial education is still so crucial, because what will you ask your financial advisor if you have no literacy in that? So if he comes to you and saying, this is my investments, and you don't even know to ask the question in terms of, okay, but what is the cost on that? What is my cost per every, you know, 100 rand that I put in? Mm. You know, it's a crucial thing to understand, to actually know if he's picking the right investments. And if you don't have that, then ultimately you can still fail or still get into a place where, you know, you're not getting the most out of your own finances.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And the industry, unfortunately, has a lot of jargon that's not clear for everyone. And it took me a while, a couple of years to educate myself. And now when I joined the industry and I'm continuing my studies further to become a CFP, I learn a lot more now from the industry side and seeing how they position different things. And we would all like to believe in the best world, you know, we clients' interests are always at heart, but that's not the case. That's not the reality that I see. So how do we provide education? Because yes, if there's the one side of the coin, I want to do stuff myself and I want to implement it myself. I want to be a DIY investor. Do it yourself. So you need to learn how to do it yourself. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you don't have time, but you still need to know the basics so that if someone gives you advice, how do you know if that is the right advice? How do you determine? Because yes, we all believe it might be, but that's not always the case. So at least how can we educate and upskill ourselves by not talking boring stuff that, you know, people will bore them to death. It's trying to make it entertaining and engaging and having a conversation and braai bucks, you know, sitting around the fire, talking about money to help people to build that foundational knowledge that school didn't provide us, so that they know they are in the best position possible and that they ask the right questions.
Yeah. I'm actually a firm believer that a lot of life decisions gets made around the braai.
Yeah.
You know, just like you said, having that conversation and having that back and forth. And it actually implies that both people need to know the subject matter in having that conversation. And I guess that's what we want to get to, is getting people to that point where they can have the conversation,
yeah,
you know, as a, you know, relaxed conversation. It doesn't need to be complicated. You can make it as simple as you can. And I guess there are people that wants to, you know, be in all of the nitty-gritty details and have 20 spreadsheets with every single cent on it. But it doesn't need to be that way. For me, it's keeping it as simple as possible for the greatest benefit as possible.
Yeah, and really trying to cut down the fluff and to cut out the fat of all the different, because there's a lot to know if you want to know everything, but you don't need to know everything. Mm. You need to know what I like to apply in my life is the Pareto principle, the 20-80 principle. 80% of the results come from 20% of the efforts. And how can we make this personal finance topic, which is a massive topic, is it 700 pages, and condense it into the 20% that will give us 80% of the results? Because if you can get to 80%, you are much better off than most people in South Africa. I mean, there are some sad statistics for South Africans, with about only 6% of people can retire the way that they want to. That's a massive concern, and we oftentimes question ourselves, why is that the case? Is it because people didn't manage money well? Is it because they didn't understand how to do it? Or is it maybe because they trusted someone with their money and they disappointed them? So regardless of what is the reason, it's not my concern. What I want to see is, how do we improve that? How do we prevent that from moving forward? Because we can't change the past. We have no control. But we can change the future. So how can we spend the time that is gifted to us, the 24 hours a day, in the way that we can make the most impactful difference in South Africa for South Africans, inclusive of everyone?
Yeah, that's a very, very scary stat if you think about it. And you might think, it's not my problem.
Yeah,
it's
part of that 6%.
It's 94%. It's their problem. But actually, if you think about it, in the greater scheme of things, it's a whole generation effectively that can't retire. Mm. So what happens to that whole generation 20 years down the line? And actually, it will, in some sort, need to be through social welfare that we look after them.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
taxes.
It's something that all of us needs to carry the responsibility for, and we need to educate ourselves into really getting to that point where we don't get to a point where we are that stat.
Yeah, and what you learn here today and in the future, and whether it's this podcast or through other YouTube videos or whatever the case may be, is what you learn. Teach, educate, and pay it forward, because we can only do so much today here making this video, but the ones listening to this and learning, apply what you know. And when someone comes to you and they have a similar problem that you had and you found a solution, be open to share it with them. Have an abundance mindset, because that's how we believe we're going to build this country together, is bringing everyone together and lifting each other up.
So I guess the other point we also need to get to is, yes, we need that education, but you need to apply it practically. And the education and the theory, like I mentioned earlier, doesn't always come together. And a very good example from my wife and myself is, when we made the decision to go from renting into buying a place, even though it was a good decision, and I think financially we did quite well in that. And mainly the part of that reason was also to go into a place where we want to buy a place, the ugliest place, the ugly duckling in the nice street or in the nice area. And we ultimately found a place after looking for about a year. So we made the purchase, and I think our planning was done well before that. We had enough money to naturally pay the transfer and bond costs and, all of those type of fees. And we also had enough money saved up in terms of, getting the renovation started. But there's always, places where you can stumble and fall. And one of those were, not knowing the renovation game that well, being our first. We might have demoed something that we shouldn't have done, and then all of a sudden your budget runs out and you're saying, oh, well, now I don't have a kitchen, so what do I do now, So ultimately the first plan is always, we need to make more debt. So what we did is actually put that on our credit card. So a lot of our renovations went onto my personal credit card, and ultimately we paid the price. And I guess we were in a good place that we had savings or a saving amount in our budget every month, and we knew, this is the amount that we still need to spend, and we estimated it was going to take us around 6 months. Looking back now, it almost took us 24 months to pay off that credit card. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, even though I knew the theory, I've been studying it from varsity, and I've always, as a passion of my own, went through and looked at all of this theory in terms of what I need to do. I knew that, and I still made a decision against that, and then ultimately pay the price. And not just pay the price for 6 months, but I had, pay the price for 24 months of interest. And, almost getting back to that conversation as well is, do you need an advisor or a financial coach? And sometimes you don't, but sometimes just to keep yourself from making those big mistakes, it is useful. So yes, the purpose is to educate people. And I think we will get to topics and content and how to practically use it in your life to make a difference. But just be conscious of, you know, theory doesn't always lead into practice.
For sure. It's very much applying what you know. And I mean, sometimes you have to make mistakes. At school, you studied and then you wrote the test. In real life, you write the test and then you learn, because it's oftentimes you don't know what you don't know, and then it happens and you're like, oh, I wish I knew this. But I think, you know, in that self, again, we all have our own journey, and the decisions we make today is because of maybe past mistakes. It's because you went through that experience of, I shouldn't have done that. Now I am, you know, motivated and I want to learn, teach other people, don't do what I did necessarily, because that is X, Y, and Z. And on the topic of debt, you know, it's tough, because they make it so easy to take out debt in South Africa. You know, you get emails and SMSs and court calls, people offering personal loans. You get your banker calling, oh man, why don't you take out a credit card? You qualify and you feel so nice.
Yeah, they make it so easy.
You know, if I qualify, why not? You know, go to the store, you want to buy socks, and no man, take out the store card. It's nice, you get a discount and it sounds nice. And the problem with that is oftentimes we in our minds we think, yes, no man, this is fine, I'll pay it off, I'm responsible, and then life happens and there's this emergency and that emergency, and as Murphy will have it, three things will happen, and then next thing you know, 24 months later, you don't see how you can get out of this debt trap. So that is one of the big problems in South Africa, is just the amount of debt that people on average have, whether it is because of this themselves or just because the industry is really trying to profit off of them. And how can we, because that oftentimes, yes, maybe it is really a financial thing, that there's no other way to get through to the end of the month, and that's all the only alternative. But oftentimes it's more so a mindset of trying to impress people, you know, buying stuff you can't afford to impress people who don't care, keeping up with the Joneses and all of that. And how do we kind of break that mindset? And I think oftentimes that leads back to what we said initially, is having a conversation around money, because people don't want to talk about money. So then they start making mistakes. And to be blunt, we all make mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I'm not unique. I still continue to make mistakes, and I'll probably continue in the future making mistakes, because that is part of the learning process. But how can we try and reduce the impact of mistakes? Because I see financial planning as not trying to make the best financial decision every single day. It's trying to avoid the worst, because that is what's going to really have the biggest impact on you.
Yeah. How do you keep your money in your pocket that you already made?
Yeah.
And not blow it on stuff that I need.
Yeah.
So in my case, I actually did need. I mean, I did need a kitchen. I guess you can, you know, get a table and have your stuff there and have like a little gas fryer. But with my wife, I needed that kitchen. I guess, and it also comes to that point in sometimes, and I know from personal experience as well, it's not easy talking about these mistakes that you make. And you almost feel very embarrassed about it, because, geez, Leon, you've got all of this knowledge. You have a professional qualification in finance. How can you go and make so much credit card debt? And I guess the point is that we're all human. The industry is geared against us ultimately, because that's how they make money. So we need to be conscious of that. But ultimately, it's never too late also to turn around and say, you know, I made a mistake. Now, how can I fix it? And that will also be part of our series in saying, you know, if you are in debt, how can we get out of it?
Yep.
How can I get out of this mistake that I've made? And how can I improve my life actually going forward? Because it isn't the end of all. You know, I had that debt for 24 months. It didn't kill me. Would it have been better for me financially to pay it off faster? Absolutely. Could I have done so? Absolutely. But doesn't make me less of a human. And I guess it's still, you know, it's a mistake, but it doesn't define you, and it doesn't need to define your future.
No, it's part of the journey. It's never about the destination. We always think about financial planning. Oh yeah, so where do you want to be? You want to retire. But I think that the focus is misplaced, because yes, we need to have a vision from where do we want to be debt-free. We want to retire. We want to travel, and that's important. But so oftentimes we get lost in the future and we don't focus on the journey on, okay, but how are we going to get there? And sometimes it really comes to the point where you have to sit down and you have to take responsibility and acknowledge, I made a mistake. I acknowledge that it sucks. I have to be vulnerable to people. I have to acknowledge it. But that is the first starting point of knowing, okay, cool. Now I've acknowledged this. How do I improve it? And how do I position myself? And it's tough. Working with money is hard, and it should be hard, because otherwise we all would have been millionaires, and we're not. Mm-hmm. So it really takes time and effort. But with that said, it doesn't have to be this daunting thing, because I've experienced the more you start learning about money, the more fun it becomes. It's like learning to ride a bicycle. It's never fun the first time you jumped on a bicycle. You just fall off and probably scraped your knee. That was not fun. But as you start exercising and you do it more and more and more, and you've got the three wheels and then you take it off and then you drive on your own and later on you go to mountain biking, then it becomes fun because you actually implement, you've practiced. And that is money, is you need to practice. And sometimes that does mean making mistakes, and it's okay. It's not the end of the world. There's always a way to
get out of. Exactly. Yeah, and it's not just reading a book or looking at a podcast. It's using that information that you've got and practically using it in your life. And yes, there will be a mistake or two.
Yeah.
But embrace that. And I guess the thing that we both almost trying to get to is, you know, doing it yourself is very possible. You'll need to be disciplined and you'll need to be diligent in how you do it. But I guess also the important thing there is each of us follows our own journey.
Mm.
So if you are someone, for example, that hasn't done any personal finance thinking or and you're starting off with your journey, maybe it will take you a month or two to really get your budget up and running and to understand it. And, you know, if there's somebody that will already have that under the knee and, you know, just jump to, I don't know, crypto investing. But it's not something that you can just jump to. I think, like you said, there is a journey. Mm. And you need to start with the basics before you can go and, you know, do the complex mountain biking trails.
Yeah.
You can't, for the first time, just think, oh, okay, well, this seems nice. I heard about crypto. I heard about it at a braai. So let me go, you know, throw some money in there. No. You need to at least understand your basics. You need to understand what money comes in, what money goes out, and what money you can invest. And it is a journey. And everyone is on their own journey. So I don't
We have a Afrikaans saying, jy gaan jou gat sien. That is what's gonna happen if you think, because social media oftentimes portrays this luxury lifestyle of forex trading and crypto trading and this and that and making a lot of money, and it's easy, you know, get rich quick. You just give me your money, you buy my course, and then you're suddenly rich. Those things are nice because we think about it like, I don't want to go through this. This is boring. What you guys talking about? I'm going to do this because it's fast and I'll make money. And then it gets scammed. And then you say, no, the whole industry is a scam. So it's really, I'm not discounting. Yes, you can make money through those, Forex and those types of things, but that's an advanced type of financial management. It's very much at the top. So if you're going to go on the top of the mountain and you don't know how to ride a bicycle and you start going down, it's going to be tough way down to the bottom. Probably going to spend more time off the bike than on. And that is the way we see finances, is really, but how do we teach you to crawl before you can fly? Because that is what you need. And that's how we're going to provide it to you. And
also just making the journey fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. Having fun to the bottom.
Exactly, yeah. So not being scared to death every time you open an app and looking at your investments, but it's having, that a fun factor.
Mm.
And that's also how a lot of people learn. If you don't do it yourself, firstly, and not having fun, you're ultimately going to leave it. So that's our purpose in terms of getting the education across, but also making finance fun again.
Yeah, and providing you with what you need to know to run your own race against yourself, and not comparing with us necessarily or someone that you see on social media, but really equipping you with what you need to know where you are at. And we are all at different phases of our life. But if we think about finances, again, how do we condense 100% into 20%, that will get you 80% of the way there. And that's what we're going to try and provide here. And if you are one of those people who's going to watch it and make notes and you implement what's being taught, and because we're going to share our experience and knowledge as best as we can, but we can only take you to the water, you need to go and drink it. And that is what I think will help us grow as a country. At least I would like to believe that is how we see South Africa going forward. Is we start uplifting each other and we share what we know and having an abundance mindset to really see each other excel financially. That is a key.
Agreed. Looking forward to this journey. Looking forward to learn with you, Peter, and going on this journey and learning myself again. All of this, although I've been through this theory probably once or twice, and I know it's. I'm definitely going to learn on this journey. Looking forward to it and looking to have fun with everyone that's online as well.
Awesome. So what do you think about Zamalekie today?
Oh man, I just love Zamalek, to be honest. It really does remind me about, you know, being that
childhood memories.
Childhood, yeah.
Not that early.
Yeah, let's say after school. No, but it does, you know, that almost feeling a bit naughty. But it's something that all of our South Africans actually, yeah, if you haven't tasted Black Label.
Yeah, you're not so that.
If you're over 18, go and buy a Black Label.
PG.
and taste one. If you can't say you're South African if you haven't had one Black Label at least.
Yeah, it is one of those cultural things that you know, regardless of who you are, where you are brought up, Zamalek in the hand is mandatory. And this makes South Africa such a exciting and beautiful country because we are so different, but we're also so much the same. And, you know, watching the World Cup last year together, the rugby's, we just bring the nation together despite differences. And I see money as the same thing as bringing everyone together because it's a similar journey we all have to walk and similar challenges we face. Yes, some are really dealt different cards than others and some start at a way bigger disadvantage than others. So acknowledging that, but also seeing that, okay, that is the past. How do we build the future together?
How do we build together?
Yeah, exactly. And lifting each other up as opposed to dragging yourself down. And it starts with a good Zamalekie, but... with these episodes, for each episode, we will try and review a different dish or a beverage. So if you have any suggestions on what we should review, preferably as something South African, drop it in the comments. The one with the most likes will win and we will try and get it.
I mean, I can't guarantee I'll get through everything.
Please don't try and kill us.
Don't punish us.
We're
here to help you. We're trying to.
be nice. But also, I think it will be interesting and I really look forward to this journey together. I think having it's such a blessing to have a platform like YouTube where we can sit on a Friday, make a video together and put it into the world. Who knows what we'll achieve through that. Our vision is not to make, you know, gain a lot of fame or money or anything like that. It's for us to have the biggest impact with the time and talents that we have. And how do we package that in a way that's entertaining and informative for you guys? So if you have any suggestions on how we can improve or maybe some topics we can cover or some questions you have, we will try and answer a couple of questions with every episode. So drop them in the comments as well. And we'll try and get to it.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, cheers on the first episode and we'll see you on the next one. Cheers.